It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. As a longtime foreign correspondent for NPR, Eric Weiner reported from over 30 nations. No doubt his experience abroad has helped with his acclaimed travel writing. His travels have also served him well as research for the books he has written. In 2008, his search for the happiest places on Earth resulted in the book The Geography of Bliss. His latest tome is The Geography of Genius, a search for the world's most creative places from ancient Athens to Silicon Valley. Eric Weiner, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul. Happy to be here.
Why did you want to study the geography of genius?
Well, because I'm not one. I'm not a genius. But like most people, I would like to be a bit more creative. And that really is the kind of genius I'm talking about here, creative genius, not just having a high IQ, but creating something that lasts, if not for the ages, at least until the next news cycle, for instance. And it seemed like a subject that was right for my sensibility. I see the world through the prism of place. I really do believe that place matters, and where we are affects who we are in lots of ways. It affects our happiness, our spirituality, and I thought our creative genius, that, you know, we tend to think of geniuses as either they're born that way, they just pop out of the womb, fully developed, doing their geniusing, or we think of it as just a matter of hard work. As Edison famously said, genius is 99% perspiration, 1% inspiration. But I thought we were missing a big piece of the puzzle, and that is place, that geniuses aren't really born. They really aren't made through hard work, at least not only. They're grown in the soil, and we've largely ignored that the soil as part of the equation.
In the book, you write about genius clusters, places that at certain times produced brilliant minds and ideas. Tell us about some of them.
Well, these are places where, you know, if you just look at a world map and across time, and you were to plot on the map the geniuses that appeared, whether it was Einstein or Darwin or Leonardo da Vinci, and you would notice they don't appear just randomly, one here, one there. They appear in these groupings, these genius clusters. And these are places that are cities, almost always. I say almost always because there's at least one notable exception, Silicon Valley. But for the most part, they are cities, densely populated, and they produce a motherload of brilliant minds and great ideas. And I should add, in a relatively short period of time, they're fragile, these genius clusters. They don't last that long.
So when you say that they're cities, for example, just cities in general or cities in particular, where are these genius clusters located?
I mean, that's just a couple of examples throughout history. It would be ancient Athens, of course, Renaissance Florence, Edinburgh in the late 18th century, was the seat of the Scottish Enlightenment, and a lot of the ideas that came out of little, tiny, dirty, quarrelsome Edinburgh at that time really helped build the foundations, the intellectual foundations of this country, the United States. A lot of the founding fathers traveled back and forth to Edinburgh, including Benjamin Franklin, and a lot of the ideas that we consider very American actually came from Edinburgh. It's just one example. And then, you know, I write about a few, well, guess what we would call obscure genius clusters, and not obscure to the people who are there, but places that are lesser known, such as Hangzhou, China in the 13th century. While Europe was in the middle of the Dark Ages, with the biggest city, maybe 50,000 people, Hangzhou was a city of a million, and they were inventing all kinds of miraculous things, including the compass and woodblock printing, etc. So Hangzhou would be an example. And even Calcutta, India, in the late 19th, early 20th century, was the home of a renaissance of its own.
And what do these places that you consider genius clusters have in common, aside from what you've mentioned about population size?
Well, I would say the first thing they have in common is that they're what a scientist would call an open system. They're not closed systems. You're not going to see a lot of genius coming out of Pyongyang, North Korea, for instance. So they have a degree of tolerance for the other. Athens, for instance, had what today we would call a fairly liberal immigration policy. They allowed foreigners in, even though the leaders of Athens knew this was a bit dangerous. There might be enemies amongst them, and they said so. So they're open places, and they're places with an outward orientation. They're often travelers. Again, the Athenians. So much of what we think of as being Greek, and particularly Athenian, really wasn't invented there. They were tremendous moochers, the Greeks. You know, they would go abroad to Egypt or Mesopotamia and borrow or steal, if you're feeling less generous, an idea like mathematics or statuary, and then they would perfect it. And this is a common thread in all these places right up the Silicon Valley. The truth is, not that much was invented or is being invented in Silicon Valley. There's a lot of ideas. They're not born there in Silicon Valley, but they learn to crawl and they learn to walk and they learn to fly ultimately. So those are a couple of things they have in common. I would throw out one more, which may sound a bit surprising to people, and that's chaos. There's a degree of disorder and even chaos, a bit of turmoil in the air in a lot of these places.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you about, because you say that, a society must be open, but societies that are closed off, the Soviet Union, China, for that matter, those societies have produced geniuses.
Yes, and wartime does produce innovation. And as I write in my book, sometimes an oppressive regime can produce a certain kind of creativity. Psychologists sometimes call it small C creativity. And here I'm talking about the kind of skills you need just to get through the day. And the kind of skills you need in China today in order to log on to Facebook. That requires a degree of creativity because
sure.
It's because of the great firewall of China. It's blocked. It is, during wartime, almost always something like building a better bomb, better airplane. It's not the kind of golden ages that I'm really talking about here that are sparks flying in a lot of different directions, like in Renaissance Florence, when you had poetry and philosophy and art. Same thing with Athens and other places. During wartime or in oppressive regimes, they can say, okay, we're going to get to the moon first, or we're going to do whatever. Well, actually, Americans got to the moon first, but the Russians, of course, put a man in space first.
Didn't we get to the moon because of a ex-Nazi, Wernher von Braun, partly because of him?
Yeah, but the key word there is X, isn't it?
Right? Yeah.
I mean, Einstein was a refugee, an immigrant twice over, Germany to Switzerland, Switzerland to the U.S. And I think, if anything, that speaks to the openness of America and of the kind of places that are geniuses, is they take the quote-unquote rejects from other countries. And that's something I want to point out, is a lot of creative geniuses were refugees or immigrants. And there's something about the immigrant experience that lends itself to it. And it's not just the usual narrative is, well, immigrants, they're hungry, so they work harder to achieve something. And that's part of it. But a bigger part, I think, is that they're outsiders. They bring that outsider's perspective, an oblique perspective, it's been called. And they see things a bit differently. And the genius always sees things a bit differently. It's not that they know more necessarily than other people, but they see more.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're speaking with former NPR correspondent and author Eric Weiner about his book, The Geography of Genius, A Search for the World's Most Creative Places from Ancient Athens to the Silicon Valley. Do people we label as a genius possess certain characteristics or traits?
That's a good question. Other than that one trait that I mentioned, and this is what psychologists consider the sort of non-negotiable trait for creative people, that's openness to experience. That sort of essential curiosity about the world around them is something all geniuses possess. But as far as personality, no, there is no one trait. They can be introverts, they can be extroverts. I did notice that they tend to be togglers. By togglers, I mean they live in cities, right, because that's where the recognition is and the resources are. But they often will escape to the countryside. Beethoven, for instance, lived in Vienna, a real bon vivant, city man, womanizer, all those things. But he would escape to the forest outside Vienna and go for long walks in the woods, get his inspiration there, and then return to the city. So you see this a lot in geniuses. They can be intensely social for a while, then they need to withdraw, and then they need to return again.
What was your most surprising takeaway in writing about genius?
I guess it would be the imperfection of genius, the imperfection of the people. You know, these geniuses, we tend to put them up on pedestals and treat them like gods and goddesses, and they're not. They're just as neurotic as you and I, sometimes more so. And the places where they live are not perfect. We tend to romanticize, say, a city that most listeners will be familiar with, Florence, Renaissance Florence. think of it as a kind of paradise with people reciting poetry and eating grapes and everything's nice. It wasn't nice. It was difficult. The Florentines were besieged by enemies all around them. The plague had just ravaged the city. There was a lot of competition. So these genius clusters are not paradise. In fact, I argue that paradise would be like the least likely place to be genius because there's no need to create something in paradise. And creativity is always, I believe, it's a reaction to a challenge and a very heroic reaction to a challenge.
You've searched for happiness. You've searched for genius. What are you in search of next?
Wisdom. through philosophy. I'm working on a book about practical philosophy and how it's not just this esoteric subject, but something that can help us be better parents, be better partners, be better public radio people.
Well, spoken like a true public radio person, former NPR correspondent Eric Weiner is the author of The Geography of Genius, a search for the world's most creative places from ancient Athens to the Silicon Valley. Eric Weiner, thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. I hope you feel a little more genius-like after the conversation.
More Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESN.